We return again to Matthew chapter 6, and we follow on from where we left off last week, from verse 25, and we're going to read verse 25, verse 26, and verse 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, verse 26, and verse 30. Let us hear God's word. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Then verse 30. Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? As we come to these words this morning, I'd like us to consider this theme, trusting our Heavenly Father. Trusting our Heavenly Father. And dear brethren, your loving Saviour exhorts you to do so in these words this morning. Trusting our Heavenly Father. Dear congregation, so many in this world live for the riches of it. Their heart is set upon them, and great diligence is made to have more. We see people just longing to have more. They're so discontent. They have, but they want more. They live for this world, for its riches and the abundance of it. Their heart is captivated. In contrast, the true believer, though he may have a measure of wealth, lives for the Lord and another world, wherein is great treasure, as we saw last week. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And what treasure is there? What an eternal life is known in that place? What everlasting glory? There are the riches of glory, the joys and pleasures of heaven. What a glorious state. What treasures await. And they're not to be really compared, are they, to the treasures of this world. Now the believer learns to trust the Lord as they live in this world. Their eye is on the Lord. They're living for another world. And they learn to trust the Lord as they live in this world. The believer learns to trust the Lord. They may still have a measure of unbelief. Doubts can arise. Yet their eye is focused upon the Lord. Now they may experience times of difficulty, wherein they have less. It can come. One may have much for a while, but then it can be taken away. How many of the Lord's people have lost homes and money for their faith in Jesus Christ, and find themselves in the hard labour camps in North Korea today? Times of difficulty can come. And even out of a situation like that, the Lord's people in lands of freedom can know what it is to be in want. Yes, the Lord will provide, but they haven't got so much as once they did. They have less. Well, they are to focus their eye on the Lord and his word. He has promised to supply. Philippians 4 verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, they may be a going without, but the Lord has promised to supply all the needs of his people. Dear brethren, as we think of all these things this morning, how important it is to trust our Heavenly Father. And the Lord save us from a day of not trusting him. For what a blessing it is to look to him and trust him in all things. Now our Lord said in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Dear brethren, your treasure is in heaven. Your heart is there. You have a heavenly master whom you serve. Do not distrust him. He will provide. Well, let's come to these words this morning. First of all, your heavenly Father. And it's good to focus on this. Your heavenly Father. Secondly, trusting your heavenly Father. And then thirdly, rebuked by your loving Savior. Your heavenly Father, trusting your heavenly Father. And thirdly, rebuked by your loving Savior. Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Our Lord here in this sermon draws the attention of those that are listening to the heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. Consider how the Lord provides for the fowls of the air. He's merciful. The berries grow on the trees and upon the plants. Friday evening at the youth meeting, we suddenly looked at this tree, and there are thousands of holly berries on the tree already. They're green, but in time they'll go red, and there'll be a rich provision for the birds around this area again. And it's because of the Lord. The Lord provides an abundance of insects for particularly variety of birds that eat insects. There are the fish of the sea. In his providence, many adults put out seed on bird tables in the winter. Consider how the heavenly Father provides. Psalm 145, verse 15, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Psalm 147, verse 9, he giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. Consider how your heavenly Father provides for them. Consider how he provides for his people. Now just note these words. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He feeds them. He will provide for you. Your heavenly Father. Note again verse 32 in this sermon. Our Lord speaks of the heavenly Father. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows. The heavenly Father knows. Well, let's think then of these words. Your heavenly Father. Now God is a Father in respect of creation. And so we read in Malachi 2 verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? So in this sense, he's a Father to mankind. Have we not all one Father? However, in a special way, dear brethren, these words come home to us. The Lord speaking to you, dear child of God, your heavenly Father. Through the gracious act of adoption, we can look on him this morning as our heavenly Father. And true believers are his children in a special way, or we could say in a far higher sense. Galatians 3 verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. What a blessing. We're seen as his special children. And these words particularly come home to us. Your heavenly Father. The Lord's speaking here. Your heavenly Father. So focus on him this morning. And as you do so, are you already trusting him this week? You see, at times we take our eyes off the Lord and doubts can arise. There can be a measure of distrusting. But when we focus on the Lord, on your heavenly Father, this in itself can be used to be a great aid to us in trusting him. You remember Peter? When his eye was on the Lord, he had the Lord before him. He was walking on the water. When he took his eye off the Lord, he went sinking. So let's begin by considering your heavenly Father, for this is a great aid to us trusting him. In a special way, dear brethren, he is our heavenly Father. As we see in Galatians 4 verse 6, the Spirit has entered our hearts and we're able to cry, Abba, Father. There are a number of people today who will gather in church. What a blessing to be able to cry out, Abba, Father, Father, Father. How many today will recite those words, Our Father, which art in heaven, yet they don't know him? Many do, but so many others don't. What a blessing to be able to say those words and to so pattern our prayers in light of those words, considering our Father. Abba, Father, what a comfort it is to be able to say it. Now many, not all, can take comfort in having an earthly father. I sent a message to my father this morning, and he replied, trusting he would have a good Lord's Day. And he hoped that I would have a good Lord's Day as well. And I can take the comfort. But what a comfort to have a heavenly Father as well. One who is there, one who cares, one who listens. Now some do not have a good earthly Father, but they're blessed if they know the heavenly Father, the wonderful heavenly Father. Oh, dear brethren, listen to these words. Your heavenly Father. You have a heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. Now, it's so amazing, isn't it? We so often come across this in Scripture, where the Lord makes known that he has given himself over to us. And as we see here, that we have one that belongs to us. That's a wonder of grace, isn't it? We think of God, yet he is our God. We think of the Heavenly Father, he is our Heavenly Father. What grace! 2 Corinthians 6 verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see that wonderful promise of grace. Will be a father unto you. The Puritan Stephen Marshall wrote, taken into God's family as his sons and daughters, that is, he have engaged himself perpetually, forever, to be a father. And that's amazing, isn't it? Will be a father unto you, and he will always be a father. And he has undertaken, he's engaged himself to be that father to you. Your heavenly Father. We can trust the Lord this week then, can't we? And just considering him helps us to be those who follow what the Lord is saying in verse 25. We'll be a father unto you. And as you think of that, how he provides, how he cares, as we shall see in a moment. So full of grace those words are in Corinthians and here. So full of love. So full of compassion. Your heavenly Father, and there in Corinthians, will be a father unto you. You may have been disappointed by an earthly father, but never by the heavenly Father. Such grace, such mercy, such pity, such love. Dear brethren, you have a heavenly Father. You are not alone. We were reminded of that this morning in Jeremiah. For I am with thee. You're not alone. And you'll ever have a heavenly Father. And he will never forsake nor forget. Psalm 27 verse 10. When my mother, father, my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me. Oh, he won't forsake. He won't forget. Those precious words in Isaiah 49 verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she shall not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Others may forget, but the Lord won't. Your heavenly Father will not forget you for one moment. All will be well then. He will provide. Is this not an aid? He won't take his eye off us for one moment. He won't forsake for one moment. We can trust him then in life. And in view of the temporal things, in view of the practical things, we can trust him as well. What a wonderful Heavenly Father we have, who constantly thinks about us. And what a wonderful family to be in. Oh, let's remember the family we are in. And so live our lives in a befitting way. Do people know that you're in a different family to them? By the way you speak. By the way you act. By the way you control yourself. What a wonderful family to be in. Why do people grumble or complain? Why do people think unkind things about others? Why is there fightings at times? Why is there a lack of love in the family at times? For it's a wonderful family. And why? Because it has a wonderful Heavenly Father. Remember, you belong to your Father. Oh, let these words sink down into your hearts. Your Heavenly Father. What amazing love has been shown to us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What amazing love. And as you think of these words this morning, your Heavenly Father, does it not brim forth in love to you? Your Heavenly Father, it's because of his grace, it's because of his love. What manner of love? If he so loved you that he adopted you, will he not provide for you all the days of your life until you're taken to his house in heaven? We are so blessed. Well, before we move on, just consider certain privileges. We have access to the throne. 1 John 5 verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Our Heavenly Father, he hears. We humbly go, mindful of his will. He hears us, dear brethren. Secondly, we are the objects of his fatherly pity in a special way. Psalm 103 verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear. We're the objects of his pity, of his mercy. What a comfort that is at the beginning of this week. Whatever this week unfolds for you and me, we will remain the objects of his mercy in a special way. We are the apple of his eye. Young ones, you know what the apple of the eye? It's the tender part of the eye, the central part. The very middle, we could say. Ah, such tender mercy towards us. We are the apple of his eye. He so pities us, dear brethren. Thirdly, we have fatherly protection. Think of your Heavenly Father, how he protects you through the unseen dangers you have passed through this week. He's been protecting you. How he's kept you. Proverbs 14 verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. There's a place of refuge, shelter, protection. Your Heavenly Father is sheltering you. Robert Shaw wrote, numerous are their spiritual enemies, and manifold the dangers to which they are exposed. But he who neither slumbers nor sleeps watches over them with unwearied you children here this morning, there are times when your father or your dad needs sleep, and he must have sleep. But our Heavenly Father never sleeps. He's always watching, always protecting. Fourthly, as we think of the Heavenly Father and the privileges of being in his family, fatherly chastisement. Hebrews 12 verse 2, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Not joyous at times, but all consider his loving, chastising hand. And it's a privilege to have a Heavenly Father who in a loving way chastises us. What would we be like if it was not for the chastising hand of the Lord? And then fifthly, if you think of the Heavenly Father and the privileges of being in his family, consider how the Lord's people are provided for. Verse 26, Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Think how he provides for the fowls of the air. Think how he provides for you, dear brethren. If he cares for the fowls of the air, oh, rest in him. He so cares for you. He cares much more for you. So therefore cast your care upon him. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He so cares, you cast your care then upon him, for he will provide. Or just take it in these words, your heavenly Father. Well, let's move on now and consider secondly, trusting your heavenly Father. We thought of him, and we know we are blessed because we have him. But let's thirdly think of trusting him here in the second place. Trusting your heavenly Father. Verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Consider again how he provides for the fowls of the air, and you're much better. You're so special to him. Will he not provide for you? Why distrust in them? And when we really think of this, and when we have thought afresh this morning of the blessings and the privileges of having a heavenly Father, why have we ever distrusted him? The Lord is reasoning here. And he exhorts, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Your heavenly Father will provide." Consider again how he feeds the fowls of the air. And then secondly, how he clothes the lilies of the field. You think of those lilies, clothed with such beautiful flowers or petals. Consider verse 28. "And why take ye thought for raiment?" Thinking of the clothing now. "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Think how he provides for the birds food. And how he provides clothing for the lilies of the field, or the grass, those lovely flowers that appear on certain grasses that were known out in Israel. Such lovely clothing he provides. He makes sure of it. But we're much better, are we not? He will provide food for you and clothing. And at this point, isn't it a good thing to think of where our food comes from? But then secondly, to think of our clothing. He may give us a good eye to know what is a good item of clothing. But ultimately, it is the Lord who has provided. Notice what the Lord says at the end of verse 26. "Are ye not much better than they?" Oh, he takes a special concern over you. He provides for them. He provides clothing for the lilies and for the grass of the field. He will provide clothing for you. Dear brethren, how we are provided. And how the Lord sees to it. How he so cares for us. Do not fret then. Do not have an immoderate care or distrust in your heart for the master. Many trust in riches. Brethren, trust in the Lord. Yet at times the believer can go and do the opposite of what the Lord exhorts here. We're to trust the Lord. As we saw briefly last week, first of all, it's right for a fit man to go and work hard. Proverbs 12 verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. The seed drills have been at work, and soon the combine harvesters will be busy out in the fields. And what do we read in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8? But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he have denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. And so yes, it doesn't mean we're not to go and work hard, those of us who are able. Think of the virtuous woman, where there is the need to support her family. Proverbs 31 verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Sometimes my wife has got her wedding boots on and put her gardening gloves on to get some fruit in from the garden. Not so much in recent years, but... Or she may have a duster in her hand. Where there is the need. Yes, we trust the Lord, but there may be certain occasions where the wife has to go out, as we see in Proverbs, consider a field and plant it with the fruit of her own hand. And then consider, thirdly, one can have a lawful concern. When we think of this here, trusting the Lord, it doesn't mean that we do not have a lawful concern. Proverbs 31 verse 27, again, the virtuous woman. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She observes. She beholds, she keeps watch. What does she need to do? She has to have a concern. She has this care that the children are fed, the children have clothing. Remember, Paul had the care of the churches, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28. A lawful concern. The Lord isn't saying here, well, you're not to have a lawful concern, no. And then consider, fourthly, one is to make wise decisions. Proverbs 10, verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. We're to trust the Lord, but we're to be wise, aren't we? It's right to do these things, but we are to trust the Lord particularly. Do not distrust him. One is not to have an immoderate care. Yes, a mother may be concerned about clothing and food, but then she takes it to the Lord. She casts her care upon him and trusts him for it. Dear brethren, trust him for food and drink. And I tell you this, it is a good day, isn't it, when we truly give thanks for our food. It's a good day when we look to him for these things and do not rest on our own strength. Trust him. Then Psalm 104 verse 14 we read, he calls up the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Now we considered that certain things need to be done, but ultimately the Lord causes the grass to grow for the cattle. The farmer will look out to the cattle. The farmer will make sure there's plenty of grass, but it's the Lord that causeth the grass to grow. And herb for the service of men, and wine that maketh the glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. On we go. We look to him for these things. We trust him for clothing. Verse 30. Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Trust him for your clothing. Be wise in your decisions and trust him. Now I know you ladies, and it's good. You go out and you look for pretty dresses, maybe. And clothes for the children. Clothes for the husband. But in all these things, trust the Lord for these things. Tell him your needs. Trust him for everything. You may be a hard-working man, yet concerned about certain things. Lay it before the Lord. That's what the Lord is exhorting here. Tell the Lord your needs. It may be a financial concern. Tell him and trust him. You're working hard. You still got a concern. Tell him. Trust him. Hudson Taylor was tested On one occasion, he was not paid his salary before he went out to China. And at the end of the week, he found he just had a half crown left. Well, on the Lord's Day evening, after a meeting with poor people, there was a cry for help. And Taylor said, they need food. And he thought, ah, if only I had 2 shillings and 6 pence instead of this half crown, how gladly would I give these poor people a shilling? Could he give up all and trust God to supply his need, he thought. Well, he saw these poor people, he met others, and he gave away. Because he told them of the Heavenly Father. He tried to present to them, your loving Heavenly Father would provide. But he still had this coin in his pocket. He felt, oh, he must trust the Heavenly Father himself. And so he handed over this coin. And he went home with nothing. But you may know the story. The next morning, the mailman left an envelope. There was no letter within. No name on the envelope to identify who had sent it. But in the envelope was a pair of new gloves and a half sovereign coin. So much more than what he had given away. And he felt God had paid him good interest. And this is what he said. Praise the Lord. 400% for 12 hours investment. That is good interest. How good the merchants of Hull would be if they could lend out their money at such a rate. He saw God had blessed him. And the Lord provided more than he had given away. Trust him, dear brethren. And as an aid to do so, firstly, remember he knows your needs. Go to verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows. He knows our needs. If he knows our needs, will you not trust him? Sometimes he shows to us what really is our needs. And you know, when we think of certain brethren in other parts of the world, think of the brethren in North Korea. Oh, we're brought humbly to a point, aren't we? And we're shown what our needs are. And perhaps sometimes we've been thinking that certain things were our needs when they were our wants. But he knows your needs. Can you not trust him then? He hasn't let you down, has he? Your Heavenly Father hasn't let you down for one moment. Can you not trust him? As an aid to do so, firstly, remember he knows your needs. And then secondly, remember his enduring word of promise that he will supply your needs. Philippians 4 verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will. Do we doubt his promise? You know, sometimes we can quickly take hold of the promise, I am with thee. And we find great comfort. But what about this promise when things are hard? All your needs will be supplied according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, to take that comfort as well. To take the promise into our hearts. To trust him. He hasn't let you down, has he? How many dinners have you enjoyed in your life so far? How many meals have been set before you? Men, you think of the smart work trousers you have worn and the shirts upon your back. Ladies, think of your lovely summer dresses. Young people, think of your summer clothes that you put on to go out and play. Children, think of that. Young people, think of the summer clothes you have. Thank him. And trust him. Trust him, dear brother. You may know a measure of wealth, still trust him. You may be going without certain things, trust him as well. He will provide. And dear brethren, isn't it not a blessed thing to be looking to him as we make our journey through this world? Keep your eye on him. There can be much to tempt. Keep your eye on him. There can be much to discourage. Keep your eye on him. There can be cause for concern. Keep your eye on him. Trust him. And now as we close, finally, rebuked by your loving Saviour. Rebuked by your loving Saviour. Just come with me, first of all, to verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Can anyone with anxiety or distrusting thoughts add any height to oneself? No! So then, why with distrusting thoughts do you fret about your needs? The Lord will provide. Trust him. But now particularly come to the end of verse 30. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I remember often as a child being rebuked by my father and my mother. And often to begin with, oh, I don't want to hear that. I used to mutter things in my head. I didn't like being told off, but there were times when I came to see it. It was for my good. At times the Lord sees that our faith is appearing small. O ye of little faith. Now at this point, dear child of God, whether your faith appears small or great, you are saved because you have faith. Take comfort. However, at times we do not exercise faith in the way we should. We've all been there, haven't we? If we're honest. We can look back, there's been times when we haven't exercised faith in the way we should have done. Let's be honest. It's good to be honest, isn't it? There were times when I was told off as a child and I just wasn't being honest. Who took the cake out of the cake tin? What I used to do after a while, I used to get a knife and cut the pieces of cake in half. So hopefully my mum would count more pieces than that were originally there. But she knew what I was doing after a while. I wasn't being honest. Oh, it's good to be honest. Let's be honest. We've all been there. We've had distrusting thoughts. The Lord has had to say to us, O ye of little faith. You think of those close disciples. They saw the Lord. You think of it. They saw him provide for 5,000 men. And then all the women and the children beside. They saw him provide. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the Lord did this wonderful miracle. Yet there came an occasion in a storm. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And we can look back how the Lord has provided for us, but then can come a situation and we forget and we have distrust and we don't exercise faith. Oh, ye of little faith, it does happen. Why are ye fearful? Now the Lord said that to his disciples in a way of rebuke, but it was a loving rebuke. He cared for them. He was wanting them to focus on him. And here the Lord wants us to focus on him. O ye of little faith. And it can come and it can hurt, can't it? Because it's been pointed out to us. We haven't been looking to him as we ought to have done. But remember this, he says it for another purpose. That we would be there looking to him. Let me use an illustration. When I was small, I was told to keep away from a certain place on the farm. But I was inquisitive. But my uncle came along, no, you keep away. And it was for my good. And it's for our good, is it not? We're rebuked. O ye of little faith. It's a loving rebuke. He loves you. Revelation 3 verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent, as many as I love. And if you feel this coming home to you this morning, take comfort. Jesus loves you in a special way. Oh, ye of little faith, if you feel and you're looking back, oh, there's been times I haven't trusted the Lord as I ought to. Now take comfort. You're loved by the Saviour in a special way. He loves you and he will seek to help you. to train you on, as we see in Revelation 3 verse 19, that we might be there in a place not of distrust, but a place of trust. We want to be at his feet, not distrusting him, but simply trusting him for the future. And when we're there in that frame of thinking, it's good for our souls. He will come and rebuke you and me, because he wants you and me to be leaning on him. He wants you to be leaning on him. When I look back, how often the Lord has taught me this through the cars I have purchased. And I remember one particular occasion, we were in our early years of marriage and we took the car down to Pownall. And there were so many things wrong with it that my wife had to sign a form that if anything went wrong, it wasn't their fault. And we thought, what are we going to do now? We saw another car and we went to the bank account. There was just enough money to buy that car. And I've often been taught to trust the Lord through my cars. And I'm thankful for that. Though I've spent a lot of money, and I could have saved money, I've been taught to trust the Lord. Dear brethren, thank the Lord for those things that have caused you to get down on your knees and trust him. I remember a number of years ago being in a situation saying to the Lord, there's nothing else to do but trust thee. It was a difficult situation, but I was thankful for it. Oh, the Lord wants us trusting him. And dear brethren, be thankful for the loving rebuke. Sometimes, oh, why has that been said to me? But be thankful for the loving rebukes, because he wants you leaning on him. Oh, just lean on him. He who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Last evening, or it was in the morning actually, we were making our way down to Devon so I could attend this meeting. And we looked up on the Devonshire hills and we saw hundreds and hundreds of dairy cattle in a fairly small field. And we were amazed. You saw so many, but the Lord owns them all. Lean on him who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Trust him. Lean on him who provides for the fowls of the air. Lean on him who clothes the grass of the field. Lean on him who holds you so much more dear. Trust him. He will provide for you all the way until you enjoy the treasures of heaven. That's the truth, dear brethren. How are we going to respond? I will trust in thee. And if you're going through a difficult time, you're concerned maybe about finances, maybe about food, clothing, you can rightly be concerned, but do not distrust the Lord. Take your burdens to him. Cast them upon him. Roll the whole burden of life. And dear brethren, what a blessing to do so. Why do we want it rolled back on us? We can't provide, can we, ultimately? Roll it on him. Trust him. Keep your eye focused on him. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray.